I spread a song so you can sing along with my special guest star
two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast by chance explores musicals for you.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song, a podcast likes to live in the land of musicals or spoopy musicals. Woo! I'm your host, John, and with me today is the not so spoopy, but still so lovely Shady, everyone. Woo!
Hi.
Hi. Happy Halloween, or happy Halloween month, or
yeah,
whatever you celebrate. Happy
spooky season.
Happy spooky season, everyone.
Yeah.
And we're here to continue on with spooky season with The Legend of Sleepy Hollow.
Ooh.
The 1949-ish Disney short.
Yeah.
It's so,
like a half hour long.
It's a short. IMDb calls it a short, and IMDb says it's from 1949, even though it was later re-released as a double bill with Wind in the Willows.
The Adventures of Mr. Toad.
Yes. The screenplay is by Erdmann Penner, Joe Rinaldi, and Winston Hibler. Music and lyrics by Don Ray and Gene DePaul. It was directed by Clyde Giernimi and Jack Kinney. And according to IMDb, in a small town, a brewing romantic rivalry with local tough and a school teacher culminates in a terrifying ride in the night. So I feel like I've never actually read the story or book The Sleepy Hollow. I've seen the
Tim Burton movie.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know I've seen that. So yeah. How well do you know the story?
I read like an abridged version of it that took out some of the stuff that didn't age so well. You know, it was the early 19th century.
Yeah.
So
again, we're having a conversation currently. In the 21st century. we're doing just fine, everyone.
We're doing fine. But I have read an abridged version of Washington Irving's story. I have not read it's actually was originally published in a collection of short stories that were all supposed to be sort of connected, and I don't, except for Rip Van Winkle, which is his other most well-known work, I don't really know anything about the other ones. So I don't know if there's any, you know, ties that I'm missing. But I know the story pretty well.
So do you feel like this short follows the text pretty well?
Yeah, this short is actually a shockingly accurate adaptation, considering it's Disney, especially.
I mean, I found on a Disney wiki page for this the differences that they mentioned, but like one of them is in the original story, Brom Bones is only a nickname for Abraham Van Brunt. And it's like, okay. I mean,
I know, like the original story, it's not Halloween because it wouldn't make sense for the time period.
Right, but I feel
they weren't celebrating, but like I feel like that was just such like a good way to kind of describe exactly what's going on anyway, and to give a good excuse for why they're having that big party.
And also there is another difference is the horseman. He is in the story, he is a soldier or a former soldier that lost his head in the war, but in this one I feel like this is the one that, like, much like Coca-Cola did with Santa, this Disney version is the one that, like, made a definitive, you know, point to be like, this is the design of the horseman. And because also he doesn't, the horseman doesn't carry around a jack-o'-lantern
in
the text.
Right. He throws, in the text, it's like, because it's a text form and not a visual form, they can play with this a little bit more. It's constantly described as he's carrying a head, and he throws the head at Ichabod. And then the next morning they find the shattered pumpkin. The pumpkin had never been mentioned before. So you get the idea that he was actually carrying a pumpkin and Ichabod imagined it as a severed head.
Yes.
Because he was so scared. And they can't do quite the same thing in a visual medium.
Especially for kids, like, you know.
Right. Yeah. There's only so far you can take it.
And then in the Disney version, they also they also gave the horseman a very small window of opportunity to be the horseman. You know, they said it was one night. In the story, I believe it's multiple days, multiple nights or something like that.
Yeah.
There's more time that passes. Yeah. This feels like it's just 2 days. 3 days. I mean, honestly, what is up with Ichabod and the mukbanging? Like,
I mean,
he it's not that he's horny for the women that come across him, it's that he's horny for the women who cook him food. And yeah. He's not even horny for the women, he's horny for the food.
Yeah, he's like using his the way that he can like attract these women just to get food out of them,
because they drew him to not be conventionally attractive.
Mm-hmm. Which is very accurate to how he's described in the book.
Okay. And I
remember in the story they like specifically compare him to like a weather vane. Like that's he looks like a weather vane.
They gave him like a very long pointed nose, like a mm-hmm. like a crow beak or something.
Yeah. He's very tall and
tall and lanky and skinny boy.
Yeah.
It also like I said, I've seen the Johnny Depp movie, the Tim Burton movie, and I feel like in that one there's more horsemen than in this one, because in this one, they limited the horseman to the one night.
Right.
So the horseman shows up at the very end.
Right. And the thing that's interesting is it's also left kind of up to interpretation if the horseman is even real.
Right. And what happens to Ichabod?
Right. Like it could have been more so in the text in the story than in this short, but you could still maybe make a case for it could actually just be Brom in disguise in costume trying to scare Ichabod away.
Well, here's the thing. I'm gonna play devil's advocate for that for right 1 second.
Okay.
During the chase that happens between Ichabod and the Headless Horseman, there's a moment where he does look down into the torso of the horseman.
Yeah.
So it's like, what did you see, bud?
Right. But like, it also could be maybe he looked down and all he saw was like, there could have been a piece of cloth or something hiding Brom's head. That's like the excuse for it. The other two ways to interpret it is that the horseman is real, or that all of it was made up and all of it was just in Ichabod's imagination.
Now, when you pitched this to me, you said this is not a musical by any means, but it's wall-to-wall song. And yes, I agree with you. It's all music. It's all music, but not a musical, because Bing Crosby is the only one that is really talking, and he is the narrator. The ambiguous, non-diegetic narrator. Did I use it correctly? Please tell me I did.
Yes, you did.
Yes. So he does all the singing, except for like moments where they have like obviously studio singers.
Yeah. He doesn't do the women's voices. Some of like the older men are like, you know, character actors or
because there's a moment where I was questioning whether or not this was going to be like a silent film, quote unquote, and I'm using that term loosely, because like it feels like the characters are just pantomiming.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does. There's not like any traditional dialogue almost at all.
No, and I thought it was because, like, I understand that it's Bing Crosby reading the short story, because that's kind of how it starts. It starts with, like, oh, it's Halloween, we got a short story here, blah, blah, blah. I'm paraphrasing, and I just watched this, so we're doing great, everyone. But yeah, there is songs in it, obviously, because I mentioned the songwriters, but they're not sung.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still lovely. And you know, I know I've not seen the full short, but I feel like I've seen the designs of things. Like, I'm pretty sure in some Disney book somewhere, there's the image of the Headless Horseman with the jack-o'-lantern and, like, on the horse. And I feel like I've also seen the design of Ichabod.
Mm-hmm.
It's just Brahm I've never seen before. And he's fine.
Well,
he also feels like he's the precursor to Gaston.
Yeah. There's a lot in this movie that I'm like, I mean, they did that all, you know, quite a bit during some of the rougher years for Disney, where they would retrace certain character designs.
Oh,
so they were
I love seeing those videos where you're like, this is Maid Marian in
right.
in Robin Hood, and then it's Snow White or somebody.
Right.
Aurora.
And I don't think they did that, but I do think there were quite a few different things that they used for inspiration for, especially Beauty and the Beast, because even Katrina looks like blonde Belle.
I mean, Katrina also looks like the Bimbettes,
She
or
does, that's true.
Whatever their name actually is, the trio of women who follow Gaston. And even like the decor of the town, kind of. It's just, there's that one woman, the short woman.
Oh.
That's like, in and of itself, her own design. I did write down during the frolic or whatever, the party.
Yes, it is a quilting frolic in the original story.
I was
is
like,
what it's called.
The small woman needs to calm the fuck down. Like, I get it. We're 1940s Disney horny.
Right.
But girl.
And she wants it from Brahm, and she wants it from Ichabod.
But like
she is.
But like, she attacks Brahm more so than Ichabod.
She sure does.
Because, okay.
Will not let go.
So here's the thing. Like I said, Ichabod is designed to be not conventionally attractive. He's gangly, pointy nose, as we said. But during his voice lesson with the women in town, oh my God, they are horny for him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, have you seen some of the men that, like, Tumblr deifies and what
No.
they look like? I mean,
oh, maybe that's how I've seen him, where they, like, make it more naturalistic human looking.
Well, I'm just saying, like, even in real life, there are so many women who get so wet for Benedict Cumberbatch. And I'm not saying he's ugly, but he's not, like,
he would play Ichabod.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's put it that way.
there is a big market for tall, gangly men with large noses.
Well, I wasn't sure if they were horny for him because he can sing.
That too. He sings. He's got Bing Crosby's voice.
He's got Bing Crosby's voice. I mean, come on, Bing Crosby. I was like, you can read me your grocery list and I will like fawn over you like these women do. You don't have to. And then if you sing it, I'm fainting too.
And I think there's something else to the fact that he is from Connecticut, which these women are all in a small town in upstate New York.
Yes.
They don't get to see a lot of people. And it's like, oh, he's from Connecticut. He's like exotic.
Oh,
almost.
I didn't pick. I glossed over that, I guess, that
yeah.
he's from Connecticut. I know that
he's new to town. He's not the same. And it's not even that like Connecticut itself is a sexy place, but just like he's from somewhere else.
From not
he's,
here.
Yeah, he's got a little
mystique. I didn't grow
to
up
him.
With him.
Right. I have no idea what he looked like as a child. Probably not great, but
I mean,
you know, so I think there's
we see the adult. And the fact that he's so skinny and like can swallow a whole chicken or turkey, whatever mm-hmm. those were.
And just pop the bones out.
I'm like, bitch, give me your secret. I need to know.
I know.
I also started laughing because during the fight scene or semi-fight scene where Ichabod is coming out of Katrina's house and he opens the door on Brahm and everything.
Yeah.
When he goes out the bottom half of the door, I was just like, you better duck, duck, walk. Because he's duck, duck walking.
He sure is.
Fucking just, A, man. Yeah, basically. Well, he's reading, so he's not reading. Voguing he's, as much. Yeah.
Right. But he would be. If he didn't have that book, he'd be voguing.
Oh, of course. He'd be like, a party? What party? Ooh, let's put on the makeup. And I doing hand motions just for Shady for this audio podcast.
I appreciated it.
So, okay. Songs. We might as well just like talk about the four songs that are sung in the movie in the short. We've got Ichabod Crane, where it's basically like honestly saying, realizing that this is like a ground plan for Belle. This is Belle, the song. Right. If you really think about it, where it's like, bonjour. Who's Ichabod? Yeah. Who's this guy?
Oh, we're just going about our village. We all know each other. And oh, a stranger. Let's say his name.
It's the who's that guy from Grease 2 moment. Yes. Who's that yes. guy? Where did he come from? Connecticut.
Which I don't, I, you know what, I'm, now that I think about it, I don't know if they ever say he's from Connecticut in the short. He is in the story.
Well, let's just say he's from Connecticut.
Yeah.
Because he's that. We're mixing also, genres here. So.
Yeah. There's also, he may or may not have been Washington Irving's commentary on New England Puritans, but you know, whatever. That's neither here nor there.
I mean, you're more of a scholar than I am when it comes to literacy, literary works.
Kind of. I should be more of one. It's literally my job.
And then we have, I mean, there's the weird thing is that because this is wall to wall music, I did find and I did give you an actual song list, but I mm-hmm. don't know when some of them happen.
Like, yeah,
because the thing like is with Ichabod, goes... Ichabod Crane, and then with Schoolmaster and Ladies Man, it sounds like it's the same song.
Yeah.
And I believe Schoolmaster and Ladies Man is when he's giving the voice lesson.
Right, the boo, 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 boo.
Yes. But then we get Katrina. Katrina, Katrina, Katrina. Sorry, since we brought up Ball earlier, I had to bring it back. Which, again, is 1940s Disney horniness. With all the men in town being... Mm. Being like, oh, let me get you a gift. Let me do this. Let me do that. Oh. And Ichabod has that whole like, oh, I love her.
Right. But also, I love her dad's money.
Well, okay. Here's...
No, at first, it's because she's hot.
But like, also, I feel like Ichabod is not after money. I think he's only after food in this version.
Oh, I disagree, because when he's in the schoolroom, like, fantasizing about her, he's, like, imagining those fields full of the green stuff, and it's dollar bills, and, like...
Oh, true.
He's imagining, like, all of the wheat turning into gold coins, and so I think... But, like, also, it could be an extension of, like, all of this money could get
buy
more
food. More food!
But he's definitely after, in the story, he's definitely after her money.
Yes.
He's not really a good hero.
Well, so like earlier, he almost whoops a kid for being disruptive in class, but sees that he has mm-hmm. a basket of food. And so he's like, I'm horny for this food. And so you see his social calendar, which my fucking God, I'm jealous of him. He has more of a social life than I do. and he's like, I'm going to get food here, 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 and then the ladies' choral. It was wild. This is a wild moment in Disney
Yeah.
that we need to talk more about.
Yeah, it's so funny to me though, like looking back on it, I think this he's the least heroic Disney hero ever.
But I was reading that the Headless Horseman is one of the few vi Disney villains that, win or what
The
do they
hero
call it?
doesn't win in this movie.
Right.
Because Ichabod does not get to marry Katrina. He gets either killed or run out of town, depending on how you interpret it.
He triumphs is the word that they used. Yeah, I. So, okay, speculation time. What do you think happened in this version? Because I don't know if the story has a definitive answer.
Oh, it does not. It is purposely left ambiguous.
And the Tim Burton movie made a definitive answer.
The Tim Burton movie took the idea of the Headless Horseman and Sleepy Hollow as a town and did a brand new story with it,
But I mean,
basically.
like at the end, he there is an ending. It's not an
Yeah.
open-ended thing, is what I'm
Right.
saying. I mean, they gave an
Right.
answer.
Right. They defeat the Headless Horseman and Ichabod ends up with Katrina. Here, I mean, there's different ways to interpret it. Some people have said that the Headless Horseman successfully stole Ichabod's head and is now living a natural life out as Ichabod Crane. And that's why some people say that he moved to a different town. It was actually the Headless Horseman who moved to a different town with Ichabod's head.
What about that horse?
It's a ghost horse.
No, the other one, the one that Ichabod was
Oh,
riding. Because that
I don't
too is
know.
missing.
Yeah, I don't know. Poor
He
horsey.
stole that horse from the school.
He did.
And that horse could give two fucks at the beginning and then all of a
Yeah.
sudden was like, oh no, danger.
I'm trying
Danger.
to remember. I think in the story, I think they say that they do find the horse just by himself the next day.
Yes, I did read that. In the movie, Ichabod is still on the horse when he dies. In the original story, he loses both his borrowed horse and saddle, motivating him to flee from Sleepy Hollow in order to avoid paying for the loss of the ill-tempered owner. Because Ichabod not only is after Katrina's money, but he's like, I guess he has some debts that. Because it's all about the money. I did like the Headless Horseman's song that happened with where they talked where they described everything. Although I was just like, why are you scared though, bro? I mean, this is it's story time.
I know. It's just a fun song. It's because he's superstitious because he's a New England Puritan and does not have the same sensibilities as the New York Dutch that Washington Irving
Yes.
prefers. Oh,
Yeah, there's a whole thing on the Disney Wiki page about that, and I was just like, I don't understand. Like there was something they mentioned about a banshee, and they're like, they would the Dutch wouldn't know about what a banshee is because they're Dutch.
yeah.
Meanwhile, and they also mentioned, meanwhile, Bing Crosby is also very proud of his Irish heritage. And you're
Yeah.
like,
Yeah.
okay.
But that just goes back to it's the same reason why it shouldn't have been a Halloween party, but it works for a modern audience who would be like, I can connect to that.
We were talking about Beauty and the Beast, by the way. I just pulled up IMDb trivia. We missed another character that they were
Oh.
inspired.
Oh, is it the and some don't even wear their skin?
No.
Oh, because he reminds me of the creepy mental facility guy in Beauty and the Beast who tries to take Maurice.
No, so apparently Ichabod Crane, the character, became inspiration for Lumiere, in human form, possibly. Yes. I'm sorry, I'm also reading this other trivia that says the Headless Horseman, the song Headless Horseman, is considered one of the darkest songs written for a Disney film. It, much like Worthless from The Brave Little Toaster and Hellfire from The Hunchback of Notre Dame, was nearly cut from the film. And I'm
oh
like,
my God.
That song what is not a... that dark, really. I mean, I also found it on a site that I couldn't use my captions, so I didn't know exactly what was being sung. I can't hear without my captions.
Yeah.
We know this. It's canon on this podcast and in my life.
I think it's just because it's Disney. Like, Disney is like so about the happy ending, and like they put creepy stuff in their movies, but then the villains always get defeated, so it's okay.
I mean,
everything's safe.
I feel like Hellfire is definitely 100% creepier.
Oh, 100%. But it was
Because,
also a different time.
Yeah, it was the dark part of the Renaissance.
Yeah. It was when they were gunning for an Oscar.
So, to change subjects entirely, because the characters are all basically silent, do you think that helps or hinders this?
I think it helps. I think it's because it's such a dark story at the end, I think it helps to have for it to be sort of this more broad physical comedy heavy, you know, almost a comedy in the first part of it.
Part of me wishes, because the version I watched had the little opening with Bing Crosby, you know, the little opening narration where they're pulling out a book and saying, we're about to read this. I wish Bing Crosby was actually there saying that. So this way that for my mindset, it can put me in you're reading a story to me. So I want to justify, like, if we hear different voices, it's supposed to be you putting on like a voice like this to be Katrina and then one like this to be Bram, you know? So
that could be fun.
That would be, I mean, I didn't mind here nor there about the fact that they were basically silent except for like maybe a line or two here or there. There was a moment where it did fuck with me because I was like, wait, Bram said something about Ichabod and I don't know what's going on. I thought this was supposed to be a silent film, silent-ish film.
Well, this is the part where I disclose that this is a movie I have watched probably every year around this time. Since I was a baby. So I don't have an experience. I don't remember an experience of seeing it for the first time. It was always familiar.
Oh, so you're viewing me viewing this for the first time at 36 years old. I mean, honestly, I thought it was such a cute little film. I understand why they would pair it with Wind in the Willows, because that's another short. And this is.
Yeah, I kind of don't, just because I don't see how thematically they really match. Like, one is...
It's not thematically I'm seeing it. I'm seeing it as this is 34 minutes and probably Wind in the Willows is another 34 minutes. And they needed to, like, make sure a tape.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Like, when they started selling this, it made sense to pair it with something else.
Right. But, like, because... The Wind in the Willows, we had it on VHS. So we always got the Mr. Toad part came first. And we always fast forwarded through that because it's not very good. It inspired a fun ride at Disney World that no longer exists and otherwise is not very good. It's not a good adaptation of The Wind in the Willows. And then this came after it, and we loved this. We were obsessed with it. My mom loved it. My sisters loved it. I loved it. So, like, we only watched this part of the video, but because we all usually started from the beginning, because we usually just rewound it right to the beginning instead of 34 minutes, which would have made a lot more sense. We did get that there was an opening narration for that as well.
With
an invisible hand pulling out a book, and I can't remember who it was who did it. It's a British narrator, though. So in the middle, when they transition over, he's like, oh, and that's one of the many characters that England has come up with, like Sherlock Holmes or Robin Hood. And then Bing Crosby comes in and is like, well, we over here in the States have our characters too.
That
so, like,
makes
that's
sense. Because that's where it starts on the video I watched.
Yeah. But, like, it's also, like, is Mr. Toad really on par as far as, like, British characters as, like, the Headless Horseman is in American literature? Because I feel like the Headless Horseman, for being such a small part of a short story, has made a huge impact. Everybody knows what the Headless Horseman is.
So we did Wind in the Willows as an... I've done Wind in the Willows as an episode where it's the stage version of it. And
okay.
Mr. Toad is prominent. And he's...
But I mean, like, when you think about British fictional characters...
Oh, yeah, I think it's Sherlock Holmes, first and foremost.
Right. You're not, I mean, they're not going to say Harry Potter, but you think of all these other characters before you ever land on Mr. Toad. But when you talk about just in general, great American writers, Washington Irving is one of the first ones who would come up. And the three characters who would come up right away are Rip Van Winkle, Ichabod Crane, and the Headless Horseman. Like, the Headless Horseman is kind of an icon in American literature.
Yeah, he is.
And I just don't think that Mr. Toad
triumphs. Like, the villain
right.
triumphs.
Yeah.
That's why.
And
I guess
he's fucking scary.
He's scary. Yes. And even though, like I said, I think Disney is the one that, like, made the image of it that's forever burned in everyone's brains.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like even still looking at, because I think that he's described as like a Hessian soldier, German, who had his head taken off by a cannonball while fighting for the English in the American Revolution.
Ouch.
That's a lot right there.
That's a lot.
So he, yeah. But I feel like seeing anybody, a headless figure in any clothing on a dark horse.
Yeah. There's something about him being on a horse makes him so much scarier than just a headless guy.
Yeah. Because I think it's because horses are also, like, they can kill you easily.
Yeah, they're intimidating animals. They're scary.
They are massive. And you do not want to stand behind one.
I do like, because we're going to say it's not... In this version, it's not Brom in disguise as the Headless Horseman. It's either Ichabod's imagination or it's a real Headless
Horseman.
Or
it's an actual ghost figure, yeah.
But I do like that the Headless Horseman's horse looks a lot like Brom's horse.
Oh, I didn't pick up on that.
Mm-hmm. Which I think is a nice little nod to that being a possibility anyway. Or that was a possibility in the story.
So then if it's Brom, what the fuck did he do with Ichabod? Or did Ichabod just run away then? And he's like, ha ha ha, I still win.
Well, either Brom Bones got away with murder and hid the body really well. Or Ichabod just like was like, oh no, the Headless Horseman's real. I'm getting out of here.
I mean, it is also, what, 1890s, early 1900s?
Yeah, some early 19th century.
You didn't need to try as hard as you need to do today to hide a body. If
that's true.
So myself, after being a connoisseur of watching things, ha ha, watching like all CSI and Bones and Castle and all those other cop procedural shows, like you have to try hard, Dexter. Dexter shows you have to try so hard to hide
a
body.
You gotta be smart. You gotta think ahead.
But at the time that this story takes place, you just put a couple of leaves on top of him. You're fine. Nobody will find them.
There's a lot of forest out there,
There's so much forest. Is there anything? Okay, I think we went through almost everything.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to talk about before we get into Sharp and Flat?
No.
Let me make sure. I'm sorry. It's just like a lot of food questions. Oh, I also wrote down the Headless Horseman is such a camp queen. Like that entrance.
Oh my God.
I'm here.
Wait, who does the voice of the Headless Horseman? because I'm pretty sure it's the same voice actor who played like Winnie the Pooh or something.
Billy Bletcher.
Is he? He was some beloved character.
Oh yeah.
Winnie the Pooh?
Well, he was in Hello Dolly, which we've done
Okay.
as an episode. It looks like he did a couple of Wonderful World of Disney, the Magical
Okay.
World of Disney
Yeah.
characters.
Sorry, he was Pete
And
and the Big Bad Wolf, which are
yes.
much funnier, much lighter.
Well,
I don't know where I got Winnie the Pooh from.
he's only credited as the laugh.
Right. Which is all the Headless Horseman does.
Yes. And then Pinto Colvig is Ichabod Crane's screaming voice and uncredited other townspeople. And then the Judd Conlin's Rhythmaires are the chorus.
Okay.
And then Clarence Nash plays Ichabod's horse.
Right.
I love that they have humans doing voices for animals. Alan Tudyk as Hey Hey in Moana.
Yeah.
I
I
fucking
went to
love that.
Juilliard.
I went to Juilliard. All right, let's get into Sharp and Flat, shall we?
Sharp Flat.
So in this section, we're going to highlight some moments, whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. And if we didn't like it or thought it could change, it's flat. I have a flat. I have only one flat.
Okay.
And my flat is for men.
Okay.
Like, the way that they're treating Katrina, bit like fawning for her and everything, it's and fighting each other for her. It's like, no, we gotta ask her what she wants. I understand that like courting was a whole thing back then,
Yeah.
and probably much like the fact that Ichabod's eating habits is such a major thing that I feel like I'm missing some sort of historical context for how teachers were treated back in this time period. I'm just like, guys, she's a person. You don't have to fight for her. Just ask her. Ask her out. What's the worst she's gonna say? No. And then
Then
she asked Ichabod to the frolic, and then Brahm, I guess, is somebody who is not used to like not getting his way. He's that kind
wow.
of person that causes the mischief, and you're like, fuck you, Brahm. So men are flat. Anyway,
All right.
do you have any flats?
I do have one. It's minor, but I have one thing that I thought didn't age so well. One line in the Headless Horseman song. There's a line about like black or white or even red, talking about
Oh.
how the horseman doesn't care what head he takes, he just wants a head. And when I was a kid, I always thought they were talking about hair color. I thought they were saying like he would take somebody with white
Yes.
hair, somebody with black hair, somebody even with red hair,
Yes.
which I thought was funny being a redhead myself. But being older now and realizing, oh, they're probably talking about skin color. And they're saying that he would even settle for a Native American head.
Yeah.
Don't love the way that's presented.
Yeah, they yeah.
But again, it's 1949.
So
They,
I'm
I mean,
also sorry
Disney.
to go a little hot there on men.
Ugh.
I guess I'm in a mood right now or
No, it's
something.
okay. I appreciated it because then I didn't have to flat men.
Were you going to though?
I was gonna flat just, the characters within the story.
I mean, even Katrina isn't that great of a character.
She's not. She you kind of get the feeling she's like enjoying playing these guys off of each other and everything.
Yeah, there's something about her too that you're like, I get it. We have Ichabod thinking about food and then money to potentially buy more food. But she's having fun just dangling, you know, carrots in front of these guys to pick
she's
up on.
She's a tease.
Yeah. And it's like, what do you want, Katrina?
Yeah. Make up your mind.
Do you want a good shablam? Is that what you want? Katrina, blam. Anyway. Sorry, last time. I promise. Sharps. I have some very specific sharps.
Ooh, okay. I want to hear them.
There's one moment. This first sharp. I guffawed when it happened. It's when Ichabod pulls out part of his sleeve to be a napkin and then pulls his shirt to put back the sleeve. I was like, that's funny. That, yeah. I get it. I understand. And the fact that you took, like, pulling out the cuff to be a napkin, fine, whatever. Yeah. It's the fact that they then use the shirt, the body of the shirt, to pull the sleeve back in underneath his jacket. I was like, brilliant. Who did this? I love you.
Yeah. There's a lot of good little gags in this, like just visual gags.
I also sharped how Bing Crosby is the only person with dialogue.
Yes.
And then my last sharp is for Ichabod's nightmare trip through the woods. Because, okay, it's a real thing. You know, mm-hmm. It's light, it's dark out. Everyday noises are making other come play with your mind, where you're like, is that a drip in the sink or is somebody trying to kill me?
Yeah. It helps build up to that ambiguity of like, did he just imagine the chase with the horsemen?
Right. Cause you hear clomping and it turns out mm-hmm. to be reeds on a log, and now it's seed. I guess there's sowing doubt into all of us.
Yeah.
Did I say the right word? Yes, I did. Sowing?
Sewing.
Yeah. So it makes it, like you said, plays into the ambiguity, but also it's just like, what the fuck happened to him?
Yeah.
Because we get a dream sequence about what could have happened.
Yeah. Oh, here he is. He met a nice widow and they had a ton of kids together and he gets to have a great big turkey feast. That could have happened.
Or ... They don't say it because it's 1940s Disney.
The citizens of Sleepy Hollow know the truth.
Sinister Bing Crosby. What are your sharps?
So I want a sharp that they set up Ichabod being very superstitious really early during his little Ichabod Crane / Bell / whatever we want to call it song. You know, we see him, you know, turning the black cat around a different way so it doesn't cross his path. We see him avoiding a ladder, walking under a ladder. So I like that they set it up really early. So without using any words, we know this is a guy who's very superstitious.
And then they confirm it later when he drops the salt at the frolic.
Right.
Is that paprika he's putting on the egg?
I think so.
Because the way that he reacts to the spicy, the hot, the heat of it, I'm like, mm-hmm. I thought it was salt at first. I didn't see that it was red. And I'm like, is that supposed to be paprika? What are we doing?
I think it's supposed to be paprika.
Dear Disney.
What else did I want to sharp? Oh, well, speaking of that whole sequence, I love the some don't even wear their skin guy. I think he just shows up for that one line. And he's so creepy. And he says, like, he says the creepiest line in the song. I loved him when I was a kid. I was so creeped out by him. And I was so creeped out by what he said. But I was like, yes, I like feeling like this. Like,
I wonder if he inspired Lurch from the Addams Family. Because I think the Addams Family started after this, the comic. But quote me on that. I'm not gonna quote myself, I can tell you that. Any other sharps?
Yeah, I love the horse. I just love him. He's a good
Wait, wait, wait.
horse.
Ichabod's horse.
Ichabod's horse. Yeah.
Okay.
I
There's
love
so
all
many
the horses.
there's so many horses. You need to be.
Yeah.
Are
Sorry.
you
Ichabod's. What's that?
turning into a horse girl on me?
I was always too broke to be a horse girl. I loved horses as a kid. I wanted a horse so bad. If I came from a wealthy family, I for sure would have been a horse girl.
I mean, Ichabod's horse does have all the qualities of the princess sidekick.
Yeah, he's got so much personality. I love him. I think he's great.
I mean, all the animals in this world that they—I mean, they're all Disneyfied animals. You know, there's not
Yeah.
a that although none of them talk.
Right, but they all they
They all react as if they
right.
can understand the humans.
And we're already in a world where there's very little spoken word anyway coming from the humans, so it's like they're on even footing with the humans anyway.
And even then, it's like, is it, I mean, we're, is it actual, are we hearing the voices, like the actual words that were said, or is it that Bing Crosby's reading the story and some random townspeople say that, and if we're listening to, if we're actually listening to Bing, I'm getting so cerebral right now, and thank you for this. You're welcome, everyone. If it's Bing Crosby actually reading the story to us, is he putting on a voice? That's what I'd like to know.
Great
We'll
question.
bust out the Ouija board and ask him. Any other
Yeah.
sharps, any other flats, any naturals?
Oh, I mean, I'm gonna overall sharp the animation throughout this. I think it
Yeah.
is some of the absolute best animation ever. It's I won't say best, I'll say my favorite animation ever. I think it's so beautiful and it's so funny and it's so well thought out, all the character designs and the motions. I think it's really kind of underrated for how well animated it is. And the scary parts look so scary, but they still look like they're part of the fun world that we saw before. It's great. I love it.
Would you any of the songs to your life's playlist? I didn't
Oh.
write any down.
Oh, the Horseman song.
Well, maybe that one.
Yeah, the Headless Horseman. I just love that song. I think it's fun. I think about it all the time.
Because yeah, Ichabod Ichabod
Headless
Crane is
Horseman.
not,
The
it's an
other songs,
earworm, but like
yeah.
it's not something I want to listen to outside of this.
Right. I think the other songs do their job and function well in the story.
I honestly feel like you can play the Headless Horseman song and the Monster Mash at any like kids party and it'll be fine. Or
Yeah.
like, oh, was it McDonald's that used to make the Halloween tapes? Do you remember what I'm talking about?
I think so. I think it was McDonald's.
Yeah, I think it was McDonald's used to make these Halloween tapes that were just like clanking chains and whoo and other like other noises that are not necessarily songs, but it's like if you're gonna have trick-or-treaters, you're gonna have a
Yeah,
party.
it's decorate your house like it's haunted.
With the pumpkins, the special kids meal
Yeah.
that they brought back, and I don't know if they still have them. We'll find out. Let's get some.
We'll do it.
I want the witch.
Oh, okay. I'll take the ghost.
Do you want the witch?
No, you can
Okay.
have the witch. I
I'll take
actually don't really care.
it. And on that note, wow, this was a fast episode for us.
Well, it's a short movie.
Yes, that's true. And if we were to keep going, we'd probably talk around in circles or I'd come up
Yeah.
with an even crazier theory about this. I know they're crazy, everyone. I'm insane. But Shady, what do you have to plug or promote?
Well, I'd like to promote. I started a podcast with my sister over the summer called I Love the 90s, where
Yeah, you did.
we recap every episode of VH1's I Love the 90s, and it is a recap of a recap.
I mean, it
So
was probably so much fun rewatching them and being like, I remember House Sparks just being on here for whatever reason.
Yeah, that's mostly what we loved. I Love the 90s, and we always to this day still talk about it all the time. So we were like, let's make a podcast just
So
that we have an excuse.
now are y'all going to be doing like the, because didn't they do a sequel series to that?
I Love the 90s part duh.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Okay. Get
We'll
through the
see how,
first series and then you figure it out.
yeah. Oh,
Well,
and then my Twitter. If you want to
yes.
follow me on Twitter or Instagram, I am Cookie O Shady. Cookie like the food that you eat. O like the letter. Shady like she's a shady lady.
I want to ask you what dessert you are, but I have an answer already.
Oh, I
If
was
you
gonna
don't.
say pumpkin pie, but go for it.
I was going to say candy.
Oh, Halloween candy.
Halloween candy. But
Duh.
not none of that fun size bullshit.
No, this is the Good House. We give out king size bars.
We're adults. We can buy our candy.
Oh,
And I don't know if you have any ideas as to what happened to Ichabod at the end? I would love to hear them. You can email me at buttersongpod@gmail.com. Us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Threads. I refuse to call it X. I refuse.
it's
And
not.
even though
No.
I'm barely on there, I refuse to
Yeah.
call it.
He calls it Twitter. Elon called it Twitter in an interview recently. Like,
Good job, bro. Did you is this one of like Shady said, this was one of her Halloween spooky season movies. Was this one of yours? Did you so when growing up, Shady, did you do like a double feature of this and Hocus Pocus?
I don't know if we ever did like a straight up double feature. We definitely watched both of them a lot. A Nightmare Before Christmas.
Getting
You
all
know,
those
all the kiddie Halloween classics from the 90s.
The Great Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
We never actually watched that, which is weird because I love Charlie Brown.
I fucking love that
I
one.
know.
It's not a musical by any means.
I know. I never actually saw it until like high school.
I got a rock.
But yeah, this was definitely like, what else did we watch a lot back then? Oh, I don't know.
Just whatever was on. Like
Yeah.
every show had a Halloween special.
Yeah. A lot of them
So
did Headless Horseman too.
yes.
Like, I feel like.
Yes. Or the headless something. There's some sort of Sleepy
Yeah, they're.
Hollow tie-in.
Right. They're doing a play on it.
Yeah. And if you want to be part of the next episode's conversation, well, we will be discussing Ride the Cyclone. Shady, thank you so much for coming back on and bringing a little more funness to the pod.
Thank you for having me. I always have a good time.
Yay. And everyone, thank you for listening and bye for now.
Special thanks to Aaron Choi for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.